爱我们的天父上帝，主耶稣基督，宝惠师圣灵。
Dear Heavenly Father, who loves us and who is our Holy Spirit.
今天早晨，你在这里与我们相遇。
This morning, we meet you in this place.
你要将你的恩典、慈爱、信实浇灌给我们。
You will shower with your face, your mercy, and your salvation and grace.
我们也要全心来领受你的祝福、你的引导和你的安慰。
We will wholeheartedly receive your blessing, your guidance, and your comfort.
愿你悦纳我们在这里恭敬的敬拜。
May our worship be pleasing to you.
让我们将我们的爱、我们的顺服，主啊，都带到你的宝座前。
So let's bring our love and obedience in front of your throne.
愿你的名得荣耀，愿你的国度彰显。
May your name be glorified, may your kingdom be manifested.
主啊，在你的百姓当中，你的宝座就在我们的赞美中设立。
May your throne among our praise.
我们要称颂你的国权、你的尊荣，直到永永远远。奉耶稣基督的圣名祷告，阿门。阿门。弟兄姐妹，请坐。在今天早晨要和大家分享一个主题，就是在人生转弯处的导航。
I want to share the topic, the navigation and the turning point of life.
我有认识一对牧师的夫妇，他们在两年前，牧师好不容易请了假回台湾，要与家人相聚。
I know a couple, the husband is a pastor, soThey want to go, and they just go back to Taiwan to visit their family.
他们预备好了所有的行程，要和家人一起旅游。
They prepare all the itineraries to share time with their families.
因为一个朋友的推荐说，在台湾做身体检查很便宜，所以他们就去做了身体检查，想说出门之前做检查，然后旅游一趟回来就知道身体检查的结果了。
So there were someone recommend that since the physical exam is readily available, so they want to do the physical exam in Taiwan.
结果没想到，身体检查之后，师母检查出来的结果是有第三期的乳癌。
Unfortunately, the wife diagnosed with a third stage breast cancer.
这是完全意想不到的晴天霹雳。
So it's so unexpected.
所以不知道在你的生命中是不是也发生过完全意想不到的一个人生转弯处。
You may have encountered so unexpected turning point in your life.
本来你以为老板要擢升你得到的位置，结果老板擢升了别人。
You thought you'd be promoted, but someone else got promoted.
你本来以为这样的一个投资看来一片前景大好，结果突然市场崩盘。
Can't go wrong investment, but the market crashed.
所以人生会遇到许多的转弯处，那个时候你要怎么办呢？
So there are many turning points in life. How would you face it? Those...
圣经上很清楚告诉我们神的话，圣经上神的口所出的每一句话，圣灵启示的那每一句话，就是你脚前的灯，路上的光。
Bible clearly mentioned that his word is the lamp for our feet and a light on our path.
因此当我们遇到人生转弯处的时候，我们要回到圣经。
So when we face turning point, we need to return to Bible.
我们可以综合三个方向，也就是今天我要从这三点和弟兄姐妹分享。
It can be summarized in three bullet points.
第一，就是你要知道凡事都有上帝的许可。
First, without God's permission, nothing would happen.
第二， 在我们面对人生转弯处的时候，你不要被肉体辖制。
Secondly, do not live according to the dictates of the flesh.
第三，我们有一个圣灵的宝剑在我们手上，那就是神的话语。
So we have a holy sword, that's God's word. We need to trust and obey God's word.
是的，所以我们要信靠遵行上帝的话语。
Therefore, we need to trust and obey God's command.
首先我们来看第一点，凡事都有上帝的许可。
Let's firstly talk about without God's permission, nothing would happen.
在照片里面这位姐妹是我们办公室的同工，她叫 Ivy。
So this is Ivy, in our office.
她在英国和美国念完硕士到播种来工作，她的专业就是做电视电影的制作。
So he had a master from US and England, and her specialty is movie or video production.
在播种工作了五年，我们决定要让他做历代志全片的总导演。
So we decided to let her be the director for Chronicle.
但是就在这个决定做下去之后，不到三个月，他必须回到中国去拿 R1 visa 的。去拿 R1 status 的 visa。
Three months after we make the decision, she needed to go back to mainland China for the visa problem.
我们本来以为很快她就可以回来了。
We thought it only took a short while.
但是没想到她12月26号回到中国，美国大使馆在1月就关闭了。
He returned December 26th. The embassy, US embassy closed in January.
两年之久，美国大使馆没有开放，所以他没有办法有面试的机会，一直到今年一月。
The embassy remained closed for 2 years, so she didn't get the interview until January this year.
但是一月他去面试的时候，大使馆的官员说：“哦，你这个案子太久了，再回到美国移民局吧。”没有给他签证的 visa.
So because it's overdue, so you need to return to immigration.
这是一个人生的大转弯。
So this is a major turning point in life.
我们都不了解为什么。
Sometimes we couldn't understand.
两年之久，他困在中国，但是就像圣经上告诉我们说，我们生命中的每一个日子，我们还没有走一步，都已经完全写在神的册子上了。
She was stuck in China for 2 years, but as Bible mentioned.So everything was recorded in the book of God.
我们不晓得未来，但是上帝完全知道。
We don't know our future, but God knows.
所以这两年在中国的时间，反而让 Ivy 可以非常专注地研究历代志，并且因为他不能回到美国，我们就决定历代志所有的拍摄团队包括动画，包括影音，都在以色列当地找以色列的团队来做。
Because she couldn't join the group, she spent the time really studying the Book of Chronicles, and we decided to have everything done in Israel.
所以，当今年三月到四月我们去以色列拍摄历代志的时候，当地的团队我们才发现为我们提供了非常好，我们事先都无法预想到的那样的一个工作的果效。
So when we went to Israel to produce the Chronicle, and then there were so many things prepared for us more than we can ever anticipate.
甚至就包括我们本来有一天早晨要到大马士革的门，就是耶路撒冷有十二个城门，其中一个城门是大马士革。那一天早上在那里发生了枪击的动乱，一个暴动，所以我们临时要改变拍摄地点。如果像以前我们是带着从美国或台湾去的团队，那就不知道要改到哪里去，但是当地的团队就可以很快速的应变，甚至圣殿山本来那一天要封起来，我们无法进入，但是因为当地的同工他们知道怎么做交涉，让我们一切的拍摄顺利，完全没有拦阻。
So on the day of recording, there's some gun violence. So our original plan was not possible. If we use the crew from US, we'll be stuck because nobody knows the area. Luckily, we use a local group, and the local people knows the alternative. So everything went smoothly, despite the chaos.
而且更让我们意外的就是在这两年的期间 ,Ivy 也想要更多的进修圣经的研究和近东的文化，然后就在我们拍摄期间，希伯来大学给了他入学许可。
And because Ivy studied Chronicle during the 2 years she stuck in China, she decided to study more. And while there, the University of Hebrew decided to accept her application for graduate study.
所以从 Ivy 的经历让我们看见人生的一个转弯。虽然你完全没有心理预备，但是你要相信，如果不是神的许可，就不会发生。
So from what happened to Ivy, we all know everything allowed by God. Without God, nothing would happen.
而如果上帝许可它发生了，那爱你的神一定有更大的礼物在其中要赏赐给你。
Since God loves you, whatever He permits, He will give you more blessing.
接下来我们要看有一个重点，就是不要被肉体辖制。
Secondly, do not live according to the dictates of the flesh.
因为有时候人生的转弯，像 Ivy 的经历，是完全意外的。
So take Ivy for example, there's nothing she can do, so unexpectedly.
但是有时候人生的转弯却跟我们里面那个肉体有关。
But sometimes the turning point relates to our flesh.
在经文里面，罗马书八章十三节，保罗说：“你们若顺从肉体活着，必要死。”
Paul said in Romans chapter 8 verses 13, "For if you live according to the dictates of the flesh, you will surely die."
你们注意到在经文里面，保罗说，英文是 "according to the dictates of the flesh."
你们若顺从肉体活着。
所以这一个肉体，保罗用的动词转换成的名词，就让我们看见说，原来这个肉体是一个 dictator， 它是一个集权独裁者。
So that means our flesh is a dictator.
所以有时候我们里面的那一个独裁的那个暴君起来的时候，他要控制我们。
So we have a tyrant within us controlling everything.
让我们本来在敬拜的时候要赞美神，但是可能一走出教堂，看见我的车子怎么上面有一大堆的鸟粪，然后立刻本来在唱歌的时候还在赞美，看到有一堆鸟粪就开始咒诅了。
So you just finish worshiping in church, you step out and there's a bird poo on your car, so you were so upset and start cussing.
所以我们里面的那一个肉体，它常常在我们无预警的时候，它就冒出来了，要控制我们。
So the flesh sometimes controls us when we least expect it.
而这里讲的这么严重，说如果我们让肉体来控制我们，我们必然要死。这怎么说呢？
And it's so serious, we will surely die if we...follow according to the dictates of the flesh.
你们有没有想过，在我们祝福旧约里面，我们都听到说耶和华神是亚伯拉罕、以撒和雅各的神，对吗？
So in Old Testament, we'll talk about the gods Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Is that right?
可是雅各并不是长子啊。
But Jacob is not the firstborn.
应该是以扫。
Should be Esau was the firstborn.
但是为什么会变成亚伯拉罕、以撒、雅各，而不是以扫的神呢？
How comes Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, not Esau?
原来以扫有一天打猎回来，他精疲力尽。如果你要这一碗红汤，你把长子的名分给我。
Esau wanted the red bean, and Jacob said, "Give me your birthright in exchange."
以扫顺从肉体的需要，说好吧，先喝这一碗汤再说，长子的名分看不见摸不着，就给弟弟吧。
So Esau followed the dictates of the flesh, thinking, I can't touch, I can't see the birthright. No big deal.
所以弟兄姐妹，你看见以扫当时并没有死，可是他那个祝福的位分，就一碗红汤，从此就与他隔绝了。
Esau didn't die, but he lost the blessing of a firstborn, the blessing.
而我们在创世纪里面更是看见一个明显的例子，当蛇去引诱夏娃的时候。
In Genesis, the serpent, seduced Eve.
蛇对夏娃说，你看这树上的果子多么的漂亮，吃了之后你就像神一样，可以分辨善恶，来吃一口吧。
The tree of wisdom, the fruit is so beautiful. If you eat it, you will be like God. Your eye will be open. Eat it.
夏娃说不行啊，上帝没有叫我们吃啊，吃了我们会死啊。
But Eve said, God said, if we eat it, we will surely die.
撒旦说什么？
What did Satan say?
未必，你未必会死。
You may not be surely die.
夏娃吃了。夏娃确实没有死，对吗？她的身体还在。
So Eve ate, she didn't die, her body still lived.
亚当也吃了，亚当的身体也还在。
Adam also ate, and his body also lived.
但是弟兄姐妹，你们都知道，从创世纪那一章开始，死亡的权势进入了世界。
But you know, since Genesis, death entered human race.
今天我们哪一个人不会面临死亡呢？
So now everybody died.
不只是肉体有一天要死亡，更多的人，如果今天他还没有走进教会，如果他还没有耶稣基督的救恩，他的灵命已经死了。
Not only body, if the person hasn't accepted Jesus Christ, his spirit will also die.
所以我们要警醒，原来我们的肉体是一个独裁者，要辖制我们。
So we have to be vigilant because the flesh is a dictator.
那怎样抵抗这个独裁者的权势呢？保罗接着说，要靠着圣灵致死身体的恶行，我们就必要活着。
So how do we?But if you through the power of the Holy Spirit, you are habitually putting to death the evil deeds prompted by the body, you shall live forever.
所以弟兄姐妹，今天住在我们里面的圣灵大过这世界上一切的权势。
So if you have indwelling Holy Spirit in your body, that will be more powerful than any power in the world.
三位一体的神起初用口中的话创造了宇宙天地。
Triune God spoke the world into existence.
那一个话就是神的灵的力量，今天住在你里面。
So in the beginning there was word. The word was the spirit living in us.
因此在人生转弯处的时候，你要想到在你里面有神的灵。
So when you're facing turning point,Think about there's Holy Spirit in you.
圣灵要带你进入神的国度。
Holy Spirit will guide you into the kingdom of God.
圣灵要带你经历得胜。
And Holy Spirit will overcome.
圣灵要带你得着那一个战胜这一个死亡独裁者的能力。
So they will give you the power to overcome the dictatorship of the death.
那你说我怎么样让我里面的圣灵可以永远的胜过那个独裁者，那个肉体独裁者的权势呢？
So how can the Holy Spirit in me overcome the flesh forever?
保罗在经文里面也说得很清楚，我们要一次又一次。 致死身体的恶行。
So he emphasized habitually putting to death.
所以昨天胜过，并不表示今天你会胜过。
So you overcame yesterday didn't mean you overcome today.
我可以举一个例子跟大家分享。
I can share with you an example.
有一次我和师丈，我们要开车到北加州。
So one time, me and my husband drove to North California, Northern California.
那开过这一条路的人都知道，有一段地方呢，它就是只有两个 two lane， 就只有两个线道。
So one stretch of the freeway, there are only two lanes.
然后路旁会有一个标示说，速度慢的车请开右边的线。
So he said, keep off medium, the slow traffic.
所以在那一条线上呢，就会有很多的大货车，十八轮的大货车开着。
There are many big rigs, 18-wheeler.
那一般我们的私家车就开在左边的线道。
So usually the private car drive on the medium.
那师丈开了一段，他有点累了，所以就我来接着他开。
So I let him rest and I drove for a stretch.
那师丈特别交代。好，这里的速限已经很高了，是75，那就不要开超过79，好，就是要80以下。好，我们还做了这个定速装置。
So he reminded me the speed limit is 75, don't go over 80. So I set the cruise control as 79.
好，所以我就开在左边的线道。
So I drove in the medium.
师丈睡了，然后我开着车呢，就发现好多车子就要超过我。
So my husband dozed off. Then I discovered many cars passed me by.
所以我就开始觉得很不耐烦了。
So I felt impatient.
那也就像师丈之所以要千交代万交代，让我不要开超过时速太多，是因为我平常开车不看时速表。
Yeah, my husband urged me because I usually don't watch the speedometer when I drive.
所以当师丈在睡觉，我开着开着觉得不耐烦的时候，我就把定速呢取消了。
During his sleep, I disengaged the cruise control.
然后前面的车开多快，我就跟着这个车开多快。
So I followed the flow of the traffic.
然后等师丈睡觉一醒，发现我的时速已经超过85。
So when he woke up,He noticed I drove more than 85 miles per hour.
所以呢，一路上我们就开始为着到底这个车子该开多快才叫做安全，我们就开始从和平的讨论到激烈的讨论。
So we started debating the safety about the driving speed from cordial into aggravating.
Yeah, very heat discussion.
So overheated.
Yeah, 所以接下来呢，一路开到北加州，我们两个人再也不说话了。我的心中真的是充满了怒气。
So everyone feel anger and stop talking.
但是等我们到了旅店那一天晚上，我安静下来，圣灵提醒我。
After checking to the hospital, during the night, the Holy Spirit reminded me.
我答应师丈不要开超过79，就是不要超过80。
I promise to drive under 80.
那么我没有持守我的诺言。
I didn't keep my promise.
行车怎么样安全，确实可能有不同的见解，但是妻子要顺服丈夫。
So there's a different opinion on safe driving, but wife supposed to be obedient to husband.
所以那天晚上我非常诚恳的很慎重的跟师丈道歉。
So I sincerely apologize to my husband.
那么故事讲到这里应该是一个完美的结局，对吗？
Should be happily ever after, right?
但是就像我刚才讲的，昨天致死了肉体的恶行，并不表示明天你仍然致死肉体的恶行。
So you overcome flesh yesterday didn't mean you will overcome today.
所以昨天好像我已经很慎重跟师丈道歉了，以后开车绝对不要超过 80、啊、那如果是65的速限就绝对不要超过75、啊、
So the speed limit is 65, don't drive over 75.
但是我一不注意我的车子又超过75了。
But I always drive past 75.
所以弟兄姐妹，这一个经历让我知道我必须一次又一次致死那个想要开快车的那个肉体的恶行。
So I need to habitually remind myself not to drive too fast, not to speed.
所以我现在开的车子，师丈特别在买车的时候说，一定要把时速限制放在那个挡风玻璃上，这样我不必眼睛移开视线去看时速表，就可以在挡风玻璃上看到自己开车到多少英里了。
So the newer model, they have a speedometer on the screen. You don't need to lower your head to watch the speedometer.
所以一次又一次，我必须告诉自己，看时速表，不要超速。
So habitually, I need to watch the speedometer, not to speed.
所以我们要致死肉体的恶行，就是如此，一次又一次。
So we need to habitually put to death the evil deeds caused by the body.
而圣经上也告诉我们，当我们一次又一次的操练，我们那个属灵的身量成长了，那一个与黑暗的势力与那个极权独裁者的肉体征战的实力就增加了。
So the Holy Spirit will grow in our body, and the power to overcome the dark force will increase tremendously.
所以，当我们愿意顺从圣灵的时候，神的灵就在我们里面掌权。
When we submit, the Holy Spirit will be in charge in our life.
反过来，如果我们顺从肉体那个独裁者，每一次我们都降服于他，那我们的肉体就要在我们的生命中掌权。
If we follow the dictates of the flesh, then the flesh will be in charge.
大卫就是一个最好的例子。
So David is the prime example.
他与神有非常亲密的经历，他被高抹为以色列的王，还战胜了哥利亚。
So he was anointed to be king and then defeated Goliath.
在诗篇上他写了多少美好的诗歌来颂赞神。
He wrote many songs to praise the Lord.
但是当他遇见一个人生的急转弯，他也措手不及。
But he was helpless when he faced the turning point.
撒母耳记下第十一章第二节说，有一天太阳平息，大卫从床上起来，在王宫的平顶上游行。
One evening, David got up from his bed and walked around the roof of the palace.
他看见了刚刚洗完澡的拔示巴。
So he saw a Bathsheba bathing.
拔示巴的美貌吸引了他。
Her beauty attracted him.
大卫一步一步的让肉体在他的心中掌权。
Step by step, he let the flesh dictate.
最后，他不但犯下了奸淫罪，还犯了杀人罪。
Not only he commit adultery, he also commit murder.
他写诗篇的时候与耶和华神如此的亲近。
So when he wrote Psalms, he was so close to the Lord.
但是当他遇见拔示巴，他完全被肉体独裁者所控制。
But when he saw Bathsheba, he followed the dictates of his flesh.
在撒母耳记下，当我写这个教材的时候，其实我心里的感受非常的深。
When I wrote the discipleship Bible study on 2 Samuel, my heart felt deeply about David.
我看见大卫在人生转弯处措手不及，翻车跌下悬崖。
So he pretty much fell off the cliff when he faced the turning point in his life.
但是神再一次的将他扶起，神的那个爱和信实又如此的真实。
But God's love and faith were so true and helped him stand up again.
所以弟兄姐妹，如果你想到你曾经在人生的转弯处，似乎你忘记了所有神的教导，你犯下了一个你自己都不能原谅的过犯。
You may have committed, the ultimate sin that you can't even forget yourself.
打开撒母耳记下。
So open the second Samuel.
你在影片或者在手册里，你就会看见神如何在今天、在现在，就是每一个时刻，他仍然要将你从那个肉体独裁者的控制中拯救出来。
So in the video, in the book, you can see God will help you from the flesh.
神的灵在你里面要成为你的力量。
So Holy Spirit will be your strength.
所以当我们继续读撒母耳记下的时候，我们就会发现大卫从此与拔示巴事件之后，从此他再没有亲近女色。
So after Beersheba, she never took, he didn't take another woman.
一直到他年老，甚至因为他身体衰弱，他们为他预备一位年轻貌美的女子。圣经上特别强调，他没有与那一位女子亲近。
Even when he was old and weak, they arranged a young virgin to take after him. In Bible specifically mentioned, there was no carnal relationship between them.
而大卫在与拔示巴的事件发生之后，他忏悔，到圣殿向神敬拜，写了诗篇五十一篇。
So he repented in the temple and wrote Psalm 51.
诗篇五十一篇，历世历代以来帮助了多少的圣徒，帮助了多少神的儿女，从人生转弯处重新找到方向。
Psalm 51 helped many Christians finding new direction after the turning point.
甚至使徒保罗也因着大卫的经历，他可以说我的心思意念要做好，但是我里面的肉体常常要把我往坏处走。
Even Paul took the example from David, even my heart wanted to do good, but I couldn't do it.
因此保罗说，因此彼得在彼得前书也告诉我们说，务要谨守警醒。
So be vigilant in the first Peter.
因为你们的仇敌如同吼叫的狮子遍地游行，寻找可吞吃的人。
So be alert and sober-minded. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour.
所以我们有一个人生的仇敌，那一个独裁者，我们真是要警醒谨守，时时刻刻的抵挡他。
So we have an enemy, the dictator of the flesh. We need to overcome all the time.
然而，在耶稣基督的十字架上，耶稣基督宣告成了的那一刻，胜利已经交在你的手中。
So when Jesus died on the cross, he proclaimed, "It is finished. The victory is ours."
你可以像大卫一样，从此再一次经历神的爱，神的恢复。
So you can just be like David, the restoration and victory from God again.
你可以像保罗一样，原来是抵挡基督的，后来成为在新约里面住宿最多的使徒。
So you can also be like Paul, a persecutor of Jesus, and turning to the Bible author with so many books and epistles.
而你也可以像彼得一样，即或曾经三次不认主。
And you can also be like Peter, even though he denied Christ for three times.
但是耶稣将他挽回，他终身服侍主，甚至愿意为主殉道。
But Jesus restored him, so he served God for the rest of the life, even died for Jesus.
所以只要你愿意谨守警醒，抵挡那一个肉体的独裁者，耶稣基督荣耀的得胜就是你的奖赏。
So be alert and sober-minded, so you can overcome the dictatorship of the flesh, and you will receive the reward from Christ.
第三点，我们要切切记住，就是要信靠、遵行上帝的话语。
Thirdly, trust and obey God's command.
要信靠，才能遵循。
Trust and obey.
在申命记第十二章，当神与以色列民立约的时候，就对他们说：“你要谨守，听从我所吩咐你的一切话，行耶和华你神眼中看为善、看为正的事，这样你和你的子孙就可以永远享福。”
So God's covenant, as in Deuteronomy chapter 12, verses 28, you need to follow all my commands. Be careful and obey all those regulations I am giving you, so that it may always go well with you and your children after you.Because you will be doing what is good and right in the eyes of the Lord your God.
摩西还问百姓说：“你们确定要与神立约，做上帝的百姓吗？”
So Moses asked them whether they want to receive the covenant to be the people of God.
百姓们说：“是的。”
那 Of course.
领我们出埃及的耶和华神，我们要与他立约，我们要进入应许之地。
So we want to follow the God led us through Egypt and into the promised land.
他们过红海，出埃及，西乃山上又颁布了诫命，又建了会幕。
So they passed Red Sea.And then established a tabernacle, and then on Mount Sinai, God gave them the two tablets on the Ten Commandments.
根据圣经的记载，短短两年，不到三年的时间，他们就已经走到了迦南地的边境。
So after, actually within 3 years, they were at the border of Canaan.
所以就在加迪斯巴尼亚 Kadesh Paran。摩西选了十二个探子，说：“你们去迦南地，从南到北勘察一次，回来报告，因为我们要进迦南了。”
So the Moses sent 12 scouts to check out to do the reconnaissance on Canaan.
他们不是与神立过约，要进应许之地吗
？So they already have a covenant for the promised land.
但是这十二个探子当中有十个探子回来报告说，吓死人了，那边的迦南人高大如巨人，我们像是小蚱蜢啊。
So the 10 of the 12 scouts report the people in Canaan just like giants. Compared to them, we're just like grasshopper.
他们的城墙太坚固了，我们绝对打不赢的。
So their walls are so strong, there's no way we can scale it.
所以当他们用眼睛看这个环境的时候，他们忘记神的话。
When they see the difficulty, they forgot the word of God.
他们忘记神如何带他们过红海。
They forgot how God led them past the Red Sea.
他们忘记怎么样每天天上会有玛拿下来。
They forgot they have daily manna providing for them.
他们眼睛所见的，让他们对神失去了信心。
What they saw made them lose faith in God.
仿佛上帝的膀臂不够有力，他们必须要靠自己征战才能进迦南地。
They think they need to fight for themselves to enter Canaan.
因为他们不愿意进去，他们以为自己要选择的那一条路才是对的，至终成为死亡之路。
So they choose a way that appeared to be right, but in the end, it leads to death.
所以神就照着他们所选择的，接下来的37年， 这一代的人没有一个人能进入迦南地。
So God allowed their free will, so for the following 37 years, nobody entered Canaan.
从这个例子让我们看见，当我们在敬拜、祷告的时候，我们可以全心遵从上帝的话语。
When we worship and pray, we can follow God's command wholeheartedly.
但是当我们离开了会堂，当我们
But once we left the church,
当我们听见朋友说，哎呀，你做人不要那么老实，那个店家多找给你100块，你就收下来吧。
So we heard our friend said, yeah, don't be so honest. If they give you more change, just keep the change.
我甚至还听过一个弟兄大言不惭地教导其他的弟兄姐妹怎么样走漏洞可以逃漏税啊。
So I even heard a Christian brother taught the other Christian how to evade taxes.
我们会不会被眼睛所看见的以为好，而让我们忘记了要谨守遵行上帝的话？
What appears to be good, let us forget to be alert and sober to follow God's command.
所以在经文里面特别讲到说，我们真是要谨慎啊， be careful 啊。
So we have to be careful to obey.
因此在中文里面，当我们看见谨守这两个字，其实有一个非常深的含义在希伯来文里。
So in Hebrew, obey has a very deep meaning.
我们要像是打足球的那一个守门员，无论如何不能让对方的球队踢进球，我们就是要这样严严的防守我们的心。
Just like goalkeeper in soccer would not allow any goal from your opponents.
所以我们就是要如此的谨慎，如此的用心，如此的努力来保护我们的心。
So we need to be alert, sober to guard our heart.
因此圣经上也才告诉我们，一生的果效不是从你的脑袋，不是从你的眼睛所见，一生的果效是从心发出。
So the fruit is not about your mind and your eyesight, but from your heart and your spirit.
而你的心要常常记着耶和华神的话语。
And your heart needs to memorize God's words all the time.
不管你的人生遇到怎样的转弯，
regardless all the turning points,
你是被人陷害的，
even though you were persecuted,
你是不小心觉得完全无辜，怎么事情会这样发生？
Even though you are innocent.
或者是自己，我们自己里面的那个罪让我们跌入谷底。
Or because our own sin to fall.
上帝如果让它发生，一定是为了要祝福你。
If it's God allowed, God will have blessing down the line.
所以永远不要放弃对神的信靠。
So never give up your faith in God.
永远要让神的话做你脚前的灯，路上的光。
His word will be the lamp to your feet and light to your path.
就像保罗在罗马书8:28讲，我们晓得万事互相效力，要叫爱神的人得益处，就是按他旨意被召的人。
We know all things work out for those who love him, who are called according to his purpose.
对不起，我应该讲过。我们 Dr. Chen 真的很厉害啊，呀，所以万事互相效力，要叫你得益处啊。
So all things work out for those who love him.
不是只有顺境的时候得益处。
So all things, good and bad.
经常我们是在踢到铁板的时候，我们才会放慢脚步，想一想自己哪里可以改进。
So only when we stumble, we slow down, thinking how can we improve.
也或者就是在踢到脚板的那样的一个荒漠、无人顾及的那样的一个角落，我们的心可以安静下来。
So when we feel we're helpless, nobody can help me, then we we can retreat and meditate.
而当我们在那个安静的角落安静聆听，神的灵就要将他的启示告诉我们。
So when we quiet our heart, listen to the Holy Spirit, then we will know His word, His will for us.
在这里，我要跟大家分享一个非常 extreme 的一个例子。
So I have to share a wonderful example.
这一位年轻的姐妹 Victoria Arlen.
So this young sister Victoria Arlen.
她是 ESPN 曾经请过最年轻的线上哈，就是 on air 的这个专报员播报员。
So he was the youngest reporter hired by ESPN.
他得过四个奥林匹克残障竞赛的金牌跟银牌。
So he won four medals in Paralympics.
他目前是全美国最受欢迎的演讲家之一。
So he was the most popular speaker.One of the most popular speakers in America.
他今年还不到三十岁。
So he's not even 30.
他怎么有这么好的成就呢？
How can she achieve so much so young?
其实在他十一岁的那一年，
When she was 11,
他得了一个非常罕见的疾病。
She came down with a rare disease.
起先半懂。
So originally just some body functions.Didn't work, but eventually she couldn't walk, she couldn't eat, she couldn't move.
所以十一岁那一年，她就被医生诊断，并且告诉她的父母，这个孩子从此终生要成为植物人。
So actually, the doctor gave the diagnosis to his family, so she'll be in a vegetative state for the rest of her life.
医生也曾经。多次告诉他的父母放弃了吧。
And many doctors urged the parents to give up.
但是他的父母相信万事互相效力，要叫爱神的人得益处。
However, her parents believed all things work out for those who love him, who are called according to his purpose.
所以他的母亲常常就在他的床边唱诗歌、读圣经给他听。
So her mom always sang a hymn and read the Bible besides her.
她有两个，就是他们三胞胎的哥哥，也常常在医院里陪着她，说：“妹妹加油，我们爱你。”
So they were triplets. So the other triplet brother always encouraged her. We love you.
但是更多的时候，每一个医生走到她的房间，都跟她的父母说。没有救了，没有救了，放弃吧。
But most of the time, the doctor came to do the rounds and urged them to give up. There was no hope. There was no hope.
其实他们不知道，这个 Victoria 虽然不能动，嘴巴不能开，她每一句话都听到。
Even though she couldn't talk, she listened. She understood every word spoken to her.
四年之久。
Four years.
他的整个人就是他自己形容被锁在他的身体里。
Four years she was locked in her body.
他无法回应。
She couldn't respond.
所以他的母亲在给他读经、唱诗歌的时候，并不知道他听不听得见。
So even her mom didn't know whether she can hear her singing and reading the Bible.
他也曾经想放弃。
Even her mom want to give up sometimes. Even herself,
这个女孩，对。
Even Victoria herself wanted to give up.
因为完全被锁在自己的身体里四年之久。
Because she was locked up in her own body for four years.
但是有一天她说从她里面不知道从哪里来的一个力量一个声音告诉她说 Victoria 你要活着。
But one dayShe didn't know from where. She heard a voice, "You're going to live."
现在她回想，知道那是圣灵跟她面对面的那一个 epiphany 的 moment.
So now she understood that's the moment the Holy Spirit spoke to her, the epiphany.
所以他就回应说，神啊，如果你帮助我脱离这个辖制我的肉体，我这一生愿意为你而活，不浪费任何一天的时间。
So she responded, God, if you let me away, if you let me off from this bondage, and I will serve you for the rest of my life.
不久之后，医生对他的父母说，有一种新的药，所以当他们开始用这个新的药之后，他的身体就渐渐恢复了。
Surely the doctor said, we now have a new medicine, why don't we try it? And she responded, and she started to move her body.
刚刚脱离这样不能动、不能开口、不能有任何表达的处境，她的身体经过很漫长的一段时间来恢复。
Because the 4 years of unable to talk, to move, so it took her a long time to rehab.
但是没有一天他放弃，
But she never gave up.
每一天他知道都是神给的礼物。
So she knows every day is a gift from God.
因此他恢复了游泳，参加了赛跑，他甚至还去参加了美国的这个 Dancing Star 的这个 contest， 得到第五名。
So she runs, she swims, even attended the Dances with the Star.
所以弟兄姐妹，如果 Victoria Arlen 在15岁的年龄，她都可以经历万事，是要为她效力，要叫她得益处。那你想，我们这一些更经历神、更认识神的宝贝儿女，神岂不要在每一个人生转弯处来祝福你吗？
So look at the example of Victoria since 15. She turned her life around. What about us?
因此大卫在诗篇23篇最后他会这样写着。
So that's why David wrote in Psalm 23.
他说，我一生一世必有恩惠慈爱随着我。
Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life.
大卫经过高山低谷。
So he experienced a mountaintop and valley, peak and valley.
他曾经是罪不可赦的杀人犯。
So he was a murderer, unforgivable.
但是经过死荫的幽谷，最后他知道一生一世必有神的恩惠慈爱随着他。
Though he walked through the valley of the shadow of death, he knew surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life.
所以弟兄姐妹，当你如果正在人生的转弯处，不要气馁。
So don't give up, even though you're facing a turning point.
相信神。
Believe in God.
因为他的慈爱要随着你。
Because his loving kindness will follow you.
而这个随着在希伯来文里面是快跑的追啊。
So the follow me means pursuit and running.
我们在座有很多弟兄应该都有追女朋友的经验吧。
So you probably go dating. You have the experience of dating. So that's a serious pursuit.
你朝思暮想就是怎么样让你所心仪的女子能够注视到你，能够接受你的爱，对吗？
Day and night you want her attention to love you.
上帝的恩惠慈爱就是这样的追求你啊，弟兄姐妹。
So her love and kindness is just like this, pursues you all the day of your life.
假如你说对不起，当年是我追我先生的哈，那也 OK 呀。
But you say no, that's the other way around. I went after my husband.
那你是？那我们姐妹是如何的追求我们的先生？那你就要知道，今天上帝就是这样如何的要追求你，要得着你的爱。
How you pursue your husband is how God pursues you.
所以上帝不会放弃你。
Except God never give up.
因此大卫还可以接着说，不但一生一世，上帝的恩惠慈爱要追着他跑， 而且在永恒里他要住在耶和华的殿中。
Not only his love and kindness will follow me all the rest of my life, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
在耶和华的殿中没有眼泪，没有忧伤，没有疾病，没有痛苦。
There's no tears, no sorrow, no sickness, no pain.
在耶和华的殿中是以爱为旌旗盖在你的头上。
So you'll be showered with love.
在耶和华的殿中，他要用尊荣和慈爱的冠冕戴在你的头上。
So there's a crown of honor and love on your head.
他要邀请你进入他永远的宴筵所，将治理全地的那个权柄和耶稣基督一同治理全地的权柄交在你的手里。
So you will dwell in the house of the Lord and reign with him.
关键点就是人生的转弯处。
So the key is the turning point.
你是要接受仇敌的控制，永远不饶恕自己。
So are you follow the dictates of the enemy, never forgive yourself?
或是你是要埋怨上帝，为什么我在中国两年出不来？
Or complain to God, how come I got stuck?
或者要指责老板为什么升他没有升我？
Or blame, your boss promote the wrong guy.
或者说圣灵啊，你怎么让我投资现在害我亏了这么多钱？
How come I lost my money in investment?
每一个人生转弯处，弟兄姐妹，神都是要祝福你。
Even during those turning points, God still bless you.
不要轻易的让这个人生转弯处没有给你带来祝福啊。
Don't let the turning point go without being blessed.
所以让我们奔跑这一条天路，永远不要放弃。
So let's run on the path and never give up.
下面让我们一起用这一首诗歌来回应神。
Let's respond with a hymn.
我们走在信靠顺服他的路上，我们奔跑永远不放弃。
So we run, never give up, and submit to him.
请弟兄姐妹起立。
She
起来做一个祷告。主啊，是的，你容许我们生命中经历许多的高山低谷，但是在每一个人生的转弯处，我们都知道你的爱与我们同在。
Your love is with us all the time.
你的信实的帮助与我们同在。
Your faithful help always be there.
你在圣经里要给我们的每一个应许祝福也永不改变。
So your promise never change.
就让我们学会在人生的转弯处仍然来依靠你。
So that we rely on you in all the turning points.
让我们奔跑人生的道路，永远不放弃。
Let's run and never give up.
也让你荣美的旨意成就在南城县浸信会每一位爱你的弟兄姐妹的生命中。
May your wonderful will be fulfilled in all the brothers and sisters in here.
我们都成为这个黑暗世代光明的见证。
Be a witness of light in this darkness.
我们都成为你手中尊贵的器皿。
Be a precious vessel in your hand.
将来在永恒里与基督同作王，直到永远。
Be the king in eternity forever.
愿荣耀归给你。
Glory be to you.
颂赞国度都归给你。
Praise and kingdom all yours.
直到永永远远，奉耶稣基督的名祷告。
For forever, we pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.